The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play! Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
It's just going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Hey, we got a fun Fantasy Football Today for you on Wednesday, April 24th, our final show before the NFL Draft. I know we're all excited for the draft to finally get here. We've been talking about it for a long time, and now we get to talk about it after everything is done. We'll be coming to you live Thursday night following the NFL Draft. I'm sure we may pop in during the NFL Draft as well, depending on some of the picks and maybe some potential trades. But this will be our final show before the NFL Draft. We're going to have some fun with it. It's going to be our draft wish list, which I'll explain in a second. I'm Jamie Eisenberg. That's Dave Richard. That's Dan Schneier. As you see, no Adam Azer. He knew that Dan was coming on the show, and he decided to take the day off because we can't have all the Giants talk with those two gentlemen at the same time. Guys, how you doing? How excited are you for the NFL draft?
We're already going to have too much Giants talk with Dan here for sure. Too much.
I'm doing great today. I'm happy to be back on with you guys. It's a little weird to not have Azer here, but you know what? Today we're going to have to go no Azer, and we're going to, and look, I'll be the one to play the role of Azer on the show. So if we need like a mic fail or we need something like that, just let me know. I could do it.
That's what we need. We need to meet our Azer quota every show, apparently. Yes. Very good. We have to have that.
What's on the t-shirt there, Dan?
This is an Allman Brothers shirt. I went to a concert just before COVID with my parents. My dad's a huge fan, so.
Very nice. And it's good that it's not a muscle shirt, so you're not showing off the gun.
No, I'm trying to hide them.
Still a little tight. So today's show, we're going to talk about, like I said, what we kind of hope happens with some rookies ending up in certain spots and some teams that may or may not be looking at some of these players, how they can hopefully improve for fantasy. Again, a lot will change once the NFL draft happens, but this is kind of what we hope will happen in the NFL draft. And there's a lot of themes that we sort of had in the three of our lists, which I'll show you in a second. But one of the biggest themes was the Minnesota Vikings ending up with a quarterback. So I had them getting Jaden Daniels. Dave and Dan have them both have the Vikings getting Drake May. And that's kind of like our wish list. Obviously, I guess we all would probably like to see Caleb Williams go to the Vikings. So I think we kind of kept it somewhat realistic about some trade ups because I don't think the Bears are going to be trading out of the number one spot. But for me, I have the Vikings trading up their two first round picks, 11 and 23, to get Jaden Daniels at two. Dave has just Drake May lands in Minnesota somehow. I don't know if that's a trade, Dave, or he just falls and falls and falls, but I'm sure.
Yeah, he's not falling.
And then Dan is the Vikings trade up to number three with New England to get Drake May. So he's a little bit more specific. So in terms of just the situation overall, and I know, Dave, you did a quarterback breakdown of the draft and the landing spots, the best landing spots for teams, and the Vikings just feel like the best landing spot for any quarterback. Even the Bears, even the Commanders, even the Patriots, who are picking in the first three picks because of the situation there. So I guess I'll start with this. Why Drake May over Jaden Daniels if you could have the opportunity to make any quarterback aside from Caleb Williams go there, you guys both prefer May over Daniels, or was just that more realistic situation of maybe the Patriots trading out of number three? Dave, I'll start with you.
Well, it's realistic. That's certainly part of it. But the other part of it is I don't want to have a quarterback go to Minnesota that's going to run a lot, because each time a quarterback runs, that's one less pass attempt that they'll have. And I'm thinking for fantasy here, Jamie. I'm not thinking necessarily for what's in the Vikings' best interest. I'm thinking about our best interest, okay? This is Fantasy Football Today. I want as many targets as possible to be spread around to Jefferson, Addison, Hockenson, and I want them to be accurate, of course. And in theory, if I want accurate targets, Daniels is the one who I want in Minnesota, but we know he's going to run a lot too. So the next best quarterback, the one with the stronger arm, the one that I think can fit into this offense, the one that has already shown that he can make anticipatory throws, that's Drake May. And like I said at the top of this, it's realistic. I think that there's a very good chance. It was on Dan's wish list that the Vikings trade up to three. I think the Vikings are going to have to give up a ton to get into number three. I'm thinking at least three first round picks, and I think they'll do it. I think you're going to see Minnesota make that huge move to get Drake May.
Yeah, for me, it just comes down to my conviction on Drake May. I see this board a little bit differently than other people. Drake May is closer to is my QB2, and he's closer to QB1 than he is QB3. When it comes to Jaden Daniels, I have a lot of reservations from a red flag standpoint. His frame, players at his size just haven't worked out, with the exception of like Jeff Garcia and a few seasons from Kirk Cousins. That's the sub 200 mark for quarterbacks. He has an insane scramble rate. He had 100 more scrambles than any quarterback. The only one who was close was Malik Willis. When he scrambles, he does tend to keep his head down, doesn't look up. And from a fantasy standpoint, while that would be a great fit for Jaden Daniels, I think anywhere could be a fit for him.
Right.
And it's his best fit. I'm looking at what Dave said. I want the fit for Jefferson, for Addison, for Hockenson. And I want a quarterback who's going to use the intermediate middle of the field. Jaden Daniels, just like Justin Fields before him, did not use the intermediate middle of the field at the college level. The two guys who used it best, besides Caleb Williams, were Drake May and J.J. McCarthy. But I'm going Drake May over McCarthy here because I think there's more upside, better arm talent, better use of the vertical half. I think he could come to that offense, do a lot of what Kirk Cousins did, especially if Kevin O'Connell can help clean up the footwork fast and the mechanics fast, which I think he can. He's a great coach. And then also add a new element to the vertical game there that maybe Kirk Cousins doesn't have the same level of that Drake May has, including then finally the athleticism aspect, because, you know, Drake May is an underrated athlete. He ran for 717 yards and 7 touchdowns his freshman year at UNC. So he adds that element as well. So to me, it's a great fit for him.
He's got it. It's just not this. It's not to the same level as Daniels.
No. Definitely not.
I know what you were talking about with Daniels not keeping his eyes downfield when he's on the move. It felt a lot like at LSU. He would make two reads and then he'd run.
Yeah,
that was like 75% of the time. Drake May didn't do that. I think that can be coached out of Daniels.
Yes,
in time. But it's still like, I know that we're talking about Drake May running, and I just got done saying we don't want a quarterback who's going to run. He won't run like Jaden Daniels might run.
Yeah, he scrambles to throw is what I'm saying.
Sure. And I think Daniels can do that too. I just think that it might take a little while for him to really get used to that.
Sure.
I think Daniels will prove to be an underrated passer, probably similar to what we were saying a little bit about Anthony Richardson last year. You know, how will he do when he makes the jump to the next level? And clearly small sample size with Richardson, but he showed that he could be a better passer, I think, than people expected in the early portion of his career. I think Daniels will show that as well.
And why was that, Jamie?
Coaching.
Footwork as well. Like, it was the one thing you didn't see a lot of Richardson, but when you watched him play, his footwork was much better with the Colts than it ever was with the Gators. He finally got that coaching.
Yeah,
and I think that's why we're all looking at Minnesota and saying not just the weapons, clearly, because they have fantastic weapons with Jefferson, Addison, and TJ Hockenson. Hopefully he'll be healthy. But clearly the coaching staff there led by Kevin O'Connell. So we're hoping to see a top-tier quarterback. Real quick, if it's not those three guys, because Caleb Williams, again, is going to be one of the trio that we're looking at here with Daniels and May, who do you want to see go there, McCarthy or Michael Penix Jr.?
For me, it's definitely J.J. McCarthy. I think that Penix might be a little more pro-ready to some extent, but not necessarily so sure, because the system he ran at Washington is just unlike anything he's going to see at the NFL, including in Minnesota. He's not going to get to just throw slot fades and outside balls. It doesn't work in the NFL. There's not space. But McCarthy ran a pro-style offense at Michigan with Jim Harbaugh. And one thing McCarthy does really well already is use that intermediate middle of the field, because he throws with great velocity. Michael Penix, just like Jaden Daniels, very low on attempts over the middle of the field. Everything was outside the numbers. So I just think with the way Kevin O'Connell system works so well is that intermediate middle of the field. You see it. You watch Jefferson on those crossers and those inbreakers. You watch Addison as well. So that's where it really all starts. And so I like McCarthy better for that.
I have the same answer. There's no point in breaking it down any more than that.
Yep. And again, you know, if they can't get their hands on May or Daniels, again, probably May more realistic, then we'll see if they just get aggressive and trade up to four or five and you know, maybe get their opportunity to take J.J. McCarthy, who seems like he's going to be the fourth quarterback off the board in the NFL draft. Just quickly, Dave, I'll just go to you on this one. If they do end up with one of these rookie quarterbacks, how much does that change things for you with Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and T.J. Hockenson? Because I know, obviously, Jefferson, no matter how you look at it, it's going to be a first-round pick and one of the top four or five wide receivers off the board. Does he go to back to one? Is he just a top three guy? Addison, where does he move? You know, getting one of these rookie quarterbacks, what does that change for the receiving core there in Minnesota?
As long as it's not Penix, I think I've got them ranked just how they would be with pretty much any of these rookie quarterbacks. They might go down a little bit if it's Jaden Daniels, just because I think the target volume, it might be as little as like three quarters of a target per game. But it'll go down just a little bit. But Jefferson is behind the pack for me at wide receiver at the top of the draft. He's currently my wide receiver five because it is a rookie quarterback. And because there is going to be some sort of learning curve for the quarterback to connect with Jefferson. And then I've got Addison down significantly more among wide receivers. He's 37th for me. That seems a little low. It probably means I'm going to be out on Addison. And then Hockenson is someone I'm drafting for value. And then I'm going to take another tight end with it because I don't expect him to be ready to go for the start of the season.
Jefferson is wide receiver three for me behind CD Lamb and Tyreek Hill. He'll probably stay there. But man, he's going to hopefully still continue to be awesome. He was great with Nick Mullins. And just let's not forget that even though Mullins may not have the talent of one of these rookie quarterbacks, he certainly has the veteran ability and learned the system pretty quickly from Kevin O'Connell. So hopefully O'Connell gets his hands on this rookie quarterback and, or maybe Sam Darnold starts the season, but you know that the numbers for Jefferson, which is the prize of this group, is the elite level wide receiver that he typically is. All right, you want a shot at joining our podcast league? Simply put your prediction skills to the test by guessing the top 10 picks in order for the 2024 NFL Draft. Head over to tinyurl.com/FFT2024Draft. That's tinyurl.com/FFT2024Draft to submit your picks. And the person with the most correct answers wins a spot in our league. Check out the episode description for the link and get ready to showcase your draft expertise. Thomas, when's the deadline for that? Prior to the NFL draft, 2 minutes before, 5 minutes before? When do they have to get the picks in?
Yeah, I'll close it 10 minutes before the draft starts.
10 minutes before the draft starts. So there you go.
Thomas,
so
we're going to have a talk off pod about how this didn't somehow lead us back to donating for FFT at St. Jude. Because that's a no. We need all these to go to St. Jude somehow. Even though it's a little
sure, we can find a way to make St. Jude involved in this and maybe add the three lines in his head as well as he holds that from last year also. But again,
long overdue that Adam needs to do that.
tinyurl.com/FFT2024Draft to submit your picks to join the podcast league. And again, 10 minutes before the NFL draft starts is when Thomas Schaefer will close the contest. So get those picks in as soon as possible. We're going to take a quick break right now. We come back into some news and notes involving a trade in the NFL and get to some more of our wish lists for the upcoming NFL draft.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, not too many news and note items for now, but I'm sure there'll be a lot more tomorrow as teams might get hot and heavy with trades for the NFL draft. As we know, we saw an A.J. Brown trade from Tennessee to Philadelphia. That was a surprise. You know, don't be surprised if there's a few more trades that happen tomorrow, and they might involve some of the situations that we're talking about here. But some news and note items that we're looking at right now. There was a trade on Monday, I believe it was, after our show took place, officially done yesterday. But the Jets traded Zach Wilson and a 7th-round pick to the Broncos for a 6th-round pick. And Denver now has Zach Wilson and Jarrett Stidham atop their quarterback depth chart. So I guess the first question is Denver done adding to its quarterback room, Dan? They have the 12th overall pick in the NFL draft. You think Sean Payton is like, okay, I'm good. I got Zach Wilson and Jarrett Stidham, and we're good to go.
No, I don't think he's done adding to his quarterback room. And this is the interesting decision because there's a lot of been connection to him and Bo Nix. Bo Nix feels like kind of like that Drew Brees-esque, not Drew Brees, but just in that mold type of quarterback. I think ultimately if Minnesota makes the aggressive move we discussed and trades up for Mayer McCarthy, which it seems decent chance is happening, he's actually going to go with Penix. I think Penix is the better play for Sean Payton than Bo Nix personally, and I think he's going to see that as well. They had Penix in for a private visit, and they had a visit at the combine with him, so there's definitely some interest there. So that's where I think he might go with that decision, but it would be really fun to watch Zach Wilson running around in Mile High and just chucking a ball in that altitude and seeing how far it can go, because the one thing Wilson can do is throw a football down the field.
Dave, if this stays the quarterback room, or let's say it's Bo Nix or Spencer Rattler or some other quarterback that's not of the, you know, top five group that we expect to see in the first round, what do we think of Cortland Sutton, Marvin Mims, Josh Reynolds, the weapons there in Denver, if it is Zach Wilson or Jarrett Stidham starting week one of the 2024 campaign?
This isn't going to happen. If this is what happens, then Sean Payton is basically, like, I don't know how they fire him when they've given him so much money, but maybe they just give him a very stern lecture. I don't know what goes on. It's bad news for everybody in Denver if Zach Wilson is the quarterback there.
I mean, they traded a draft pick for him too. Can I have an outside the box prediction on who will be the starter for Denver week one?
Sure.
Daniel Jones.
I have heard something like that.
Yeah. If the Giants draft a quarterback, there's not much reason to keep Daniel Jones at that point. They signed Drew Locke. Sure. They have Tommy DeVito. And if you play Daniel Jones, even if you draft a project like May and you want to bench him for the start of the season, if you play Daniel Jones and he gets injured and he can't pass his physical by next March, the Giants are on the hook for another $25 million in dead cap based on the injury guarantee he signed in his contract. So they don't have that much incentive if they draft a quarterback to keep Jones.
I actually liked your tweet. I think it was earlier this week when the rumor came out about the Broncos maybe shopping Patrick Surtain or Cortland Sutton or both to move up into the top five or six picks. And that would make a lot of sense for the Giants, you know, because you play Daniel Jones one more season.
Right.
You acquire a pretty talented player clearly in Surtain, you know, add in Cortland Sutton if they're able to make that happen. But even if it's just Surtain on its own, move back, get a couple picks. And, you know, that would be a smart move by one of these teams that aren't necessarily in the market for a quarterback, you know. So the Cardinals, for example, the Chargers, for example, you know, any of these teams that can move back a few spots, still get a wide receiver. You know, Giants, same thing.
Yeah.
So we'll see how serious Denver is. So again, that could be one of the trades. But Wilson's played 34 games in his career, 33 starts, completed 57% of his passes, 185 yards per game, 23 touchdowns, 25 interceptions, and the Jets were 12-21 in games that he started. And so this is kind of the cautionary tale for these teams drafting at the top of the draft looking for quarterbacks. So here's the 2021 quarterback draft class and where they stand now. The number one overall pick, Trevor Lawrence, still with his team. The number two overall pick, Zach Wilson, has been traded to the Broncos. The number three overall pick, Trey Lance, drafted by the 49ers, traded to the Cowboys. Justin Fields, the number 11 pick in that draft by the Bears, traded to the Steelers. And Mac Jones, at number 15 by the Patriots, traded to the Jaguars. So of the quarterbacks drafted in the first round, the five guys, and again, we're expecting five guys to go in the first round here, only one still with his current team, and that is the first overall pick in the draft, and that is Trevor Lawrence. So good luck if your favorite team drafts a quarterback in the first round. We might be sitting here 3 or 4 years later, and they're not on the team that they currently were drafted by. Speaking of which, Justin Fields, the news on him is the Steelers are not expected to pick up the fifth-year option for him. That's according to ESPN. So, Dave, I'll ask you this. If you're looking to acquire Justin Fields in Dynasty right now, one quarterback league, super flex, two QB league, whatever direction you want to take it, what are you giving up to trade for Justin Fields right now?
I can probably find some 1986 Topps Commons in the back of my closet. You can pick who you want out of, you know, the little box that I have, and you could you can
maybe get sign those. Baseball somewhere.
Well, no, I do have some signed baseballs, but I think they're worth more in Dynasty than Fields right now. Let's call it a third round pick. And I think if you can get a second,
a third round pick in Superflex,
I don't care if it's Superflex or not, but that type of pick, something that you're going to be really lucky to have that pick mean something down the line, just like you're going to have to be really lucky for Justin Fields to mean something down the line. And by the way, I was a big Fields fan when he came out in the draft. And Jamie, I know you like to razz me about Jalen Reagor and how much I liked him. Do you remember how much I liked Zach Wilson during that draft?
No,
I didn't like him at all.
Yeah.
And so give me a little bit of props for that. Maybe just a little bit. I wasn't a big fan of that pick by the Jets. Bottom line, you should be able to get Justin Fields for next to nothing. But I think the fantasy managers that have Fields on their team in Dynasty are just going to hold on to him and see what happens.
Let me ask you guys this question. Does in your mind, and I'll tell you why I'm asking this first, in a Superflex league I'm in, before Justin Fields was traded and before Kirk Cousins free agency happened, someone traded in a Superflex league Cousins for Fields. Do you think, obviously you wouldn't do that trade now. Do you think that, and that's partially because of where Cousins landed, but do you think that Fields' value is worse now that he's been traded to the Steelers before, or it was worse before, or it's about the same as it was before Chicago made that decision?
I mean, I can answer that. It's definitely worse because there is no clear picture of his future.
Yeah.
And what's his path to being a starting quarterback again? To me, Russell Wilson stinks this year. Fields puts it all together in Pittsburgh, and Fields stays in Pittsburgh and is their quarterback for the next several years.
Right.
That's the best case scenario. Anything short of that, and he's a free agent again next year. There's going to be a whole new draft class of quarterbacks next year. We're already getting five quarterbacks in this draft that might be taken in the first round. They're all going to be ahead of Fields in the dynasty ranking. I bet they're all ahead of Fields in Heath's rankings, for example.
Yeah.
And that's on top of everybody else that's in the NFL who's a great quarterback already. So he's just going to continue to get pushed down and down that list. He needs to beat out Russell Wilson to save his career.
I don't know if he needs to beat out Russell Wilson. He needs to just prove that he's capable enough for the Steelers to make him the starter in 2025, because Russell Wilson's a one-year experiment, because he's going to want certainly a contract if he's good. And who knows if the Steelers want to pay that. They got a gift. I mean, they got two gifts really, you know, in getting Wilson and Fields for nothing
based on
the
Bears,
the Broncos paying Wilson's contract. So I don't know if he necessarily has to beat out Wilson to prove he's the starter for Pittsburgh, because if he shows enough in practice,
Like they're going to do it based on practice?
I would imagine if they feel comfortable enough with what he's showing them, because Wilson may play fine. You know, I mean, they may have another 9-8, 10-7 season, you know, sneak into the playoffs and you know, not do anything. And they feel like, okay, Russell did his job. He wasn't the reason why we lost, you know, similar to what he was with the Broncos. He wasn't the reason why the Broncos were bad last year. He was, you know, just not an elite quarterback anymore.
He wasn't the reason why they were winning.
Well, if Russell's serviceable enough and Pittsburgh just doesn't make the leap and they like what they see from Justin Fields, they can easily give him a cheap deal and he's the starter for them. I mean, that's not an unrealistic possibility.
No, in that scenario, they're both playing well. Russell's playing well enough to keep the job in Pittsburgh. Fields is playing well enough in practice, and maybe he gets into a game here and there and he plays well then, where the Steelers like them both, and then they just take the cheaper of the two, which I would assume to be Fields. That feels like a pretty narrow path, but sure, it's possible.
Yeah. I mean, look, you'd like to see him play because it'd be more fun to see
him. It's way more fun. Yeah. Yes.
All right. So let's get into our wish list here. And again, what we're talking about is what we would like to see happen for certain players, you know, incoming rookies or some veterans or teams, and what they will do with the NFL draft, which again, first round starts tomorrow, Thursday, on April 25th. So here are the five wish list items that we all gave. For me, it was the Vikings trade up to number two for Jaden Daniels. We already talked about the Vikings situation. Number two, the Chargers trade down with the Vikings. This is more of a Chargers thing to get Brock Bowers at 11 and Xavier Worthy at 23. The Bills trade up to number nine with the Bears to get Rome Odunze. The Ravens, Texans, and Vikings draft Jonathan Brooks. I'll explain that one a little bit. And the Jaguars, Chiefs, Bills, Bucks, Rams, and Raiders don't draft a running back. So all the guys that are currently in place do not get significant competition. Dave's top five draft wish list is Drake May lands in Minnesota. Again, we talked about that one. Brock Bowers lands with the Chargers. Jacksonville trades up for a top three wide receiver. Brandon Ayuk lands in Buffalo. I love that one. Trey Benson is a feature back for the Cowboys. And Dan's top five list is the Vikings trade up number three with New England for Drake May. The Jets draft Brock Bowers. Marvin Harrison falls to the Chargers after the top four picks are all quarterbacks. The Bengals draft Adonai Mitchell, and the Bills draft Xavier Worthy. So let's talk about the Chargers, because we already got into the Viking situation. So we all have a Chargers wish here for all of us. For me, again, it's the Chargers trade down with the Vikings to get Bowers and Worthy. Dave has Bowers landing with the Chargers, and Dan has Marvin Harrison getting ending up with the Chargers at number five after the first four picks are all quarterbacks, and that's assuming the Cardinals trade out of number four and make a trade, so a team goes up and gets a quarterback, so Harrison falls there. So first question, obviously, is we all have the Chargers getting pass catchers. So, Dan, what does that mean for Justin Herbert if he does get any sort of significant upgrade with his weapons right now? Because the top receivers are Josh Palmer and Quentin Johnston.
Yeah, it means a lot for Justin Herbert. And I think as just judging on all the mocks we've done this draft season, Justin Herbert's fallen. And I keep drafting him, but he is falling really far, like into QB2 range. And I just think that's a little bit of an overcorrection on this idea that, you know, Jim Harbaugh is just going to go super run first. Jim Harbaugh, when he had Andrew Luck at Stanford, was a pass first caller. Yes, at other stops with J.J. McCarthy and Colin Kaepernick, he was a run-first play caller. But with Andrew Luck, he was not. So I think he understands what he has here. It's why he took the job. But he also needs to get some weapons for this pass offense to work the way it can. And in my scenario where he gets Marvin Harrison Jr. with QBs going 1-4, it's the best possible for him. I do kind of like your idea, Jamie, where he gets two pass catchers. But for me, I'm all in on Harrison. And I think that part of the reason why we're not so where there just hasn't been that much buzz about Harrison is because he didn't do any of the testing and he didn't run and we didn't get any of that, any of the numbers there or the agility, anything like that. But when you watch his tape, you can see what he does so well. It's that release package off the line of scrimmage. It's his ability to contort his body in the air, make those catches by the sideline, do all the little things. He's essentially his dad, but bigger. And that works in the NFL. That's not breakaway speed. That's not yards after the catch. That doesn't matter. That's exactly what Justin Herbert wants, because Justin Herbert, like Matthew Stafford and those type of quarterbacks, can fit the ball into tight windows, can throw 50-50 balls on the outside shoulder where the receiver can just pluck away from frame in the red zone, on third downs, in the intermediate range, in the vertical range. And those are all things that I think will happen just immediately with Harrison. I think he's that ready. So I could see a season where Harrison goes to L.A., and is in the 12 to 15 touchdown range. I really think that's possible right away, because I don't really necessarily think Quentin Johnston is going to take that big of a jump. I wasn't high on him to begin with. Talked about that a bunch with Heath. Was one of my busts last year in the class. Not a big fan. Josh Palmer can do his thing, and he's decent on the vertical plane, but Harrison will be the guy. So I think there's been a little bit too much of an overcorrection on Harbaugh's going to the Chargers. They're not going to pass the ball anymore.
Dave, in terms of Herbert, I think you have been the highest on him, if I'm not mistaken, with your rankings. He's outside the top 12 for me right now. So where would Herbert be ranked if he got Harrison in Dan's scenario, or in your scenario, Bowers? I'm assuming it's a trade down. I don't think you have Bowers going at five, right? So
no, I don't. Well, listen, Jim Harbaugh is crazy. I don't know if he's that crazy but that he's going to take Bowers at five.
If it's just Bowers, the reason I did it with the Vikings was I like to see them get two, you know, pass catchers. So, you know, it could be Mitchell at 23. It could be, you know,
sure.
You know, maybe Robinson if he slips. But I think, you know, the reason I put Worthy there was we've kind of talked about this with Herbert for the last several years. There's not a lot of speed in that receiving core. Yep. There hasn't been a lot of speed in that receiving core, you know, with Keenan Allen, Mike Williams isn't a burner, you know, so giving him a speed guy, giving him a reliable guy over the middle, like that's kind of why I picked those two players in particular, but just adding somebody. So for you, it's just Bowers. For me, it's two guys. For Dan, it's the best receiver in the class. Where would Herbert go in any of these scenarios?
Herbert is still going to be toward the back end of the top 12. I don't know if I'm ready to even say he'd move up one spot, because I'm ranking him as if he's got one of those guys. Now, if one of those guys is Marvin Harrison, I'll feel a hell of a lot better ranking him higher than, I think, 11 is where I have him. But great quarterback playing for a coach who will do what it takes to win, and the coach is prioritizing the offensive line. You're going to see that in the draft. At some point, if they trade down, they'll have two first-round picks. They've got an early second-round pick. They're going to draft offensive linemen and try and make that line even stronger. Yes, that'll help the run game, but it'll obviously help protect Justin Herbert. And if he's got time to throw, he's a force multiplier to whoever he's throwing to. So if it's somebody as great as Marvin Harrison, we're talking about an absolute stud receiver for fantasy. If we're talking about Brock Bowers and he's the number one target in that offense, he'll flirt with being a top three fantasy tight end if that's the case in LA. And if it's Bowers and Worthy, that's just going to make it fun. And I would be very excited to get Justin Herbert. And we're not drafting Herbert anywhere near where we were taking him in the past. top right. five-ish type of fantasy quarterback. To Dan's point, we're taking him with a late pick. And most people, if they're going to take Herbert with a late pick, they might as well take another quarterback with a late pick as well. And that's perfect for fantasy because then you've got the best of both worlds. If Herbert hits, awesome. You've got your quarterback for the rest of the season. If he doesn't hit, you've got a plan B already on your bench. Or even if you're aggressive and you don't have a plan B on your bench, there'll be a plan B on the waiver wire. It's different in Superflex and 2QB leagues. Obviously, the Chargers are going to add somebody here. But as long as it's somebody who's one of the rare talents in this draft, Harrison, Neighbors, Odunze, Bowers, one of those four, man, you'd be really excited. And even if it's not one of those four, Jamie, what if they end up with Worthy and McConkey? Or Roman Wilson reunites with Harbaugh and they've got, you know, I know that we're not all big fans of Keon Coleman, but somebody like that. So now they've got a size guy who can be physical along with a great route runner like Roman Wilson. And they don't spend round one capital on those guys. That's still going to be good for Justin Herbert. That's still going to put him in position to have somebody to throw to that can run routes, fight for 50-50 balls, score touchdowns, all the things that we're looking for a quarterback to put up fantasy points.
And in that scenario, Dave, they're probably getting the best offensive lineman in the class too in round one.
Right, if they stay.
Playing, yeah, even if they trade back, there's like five great offensive linemen in this draft.
Or don't trade down too far. Yes, absolutely.
Right. One last thing on Bowers, Jamie, and this is just a fun nugget that I love to share when we talk about him. He was recruited heavily by Jim Harbaugh out of high school to go to Michigan, even visited the Wolverines in Ann Arbor, and ultimately he chose Georgia. But he might have been very close to going to Michigan. Wow. This is Harbaugh's chance to finally get his cloppies on Bowers.
Oh, I'm sure there's a lot of top tier talent that he was recruiting, you know, so he's going to know quite a bit about.
Neighbors was another one of those guys.
Hopefully a lot of the guys in this class. Yep. Dan, just quickly on Bowers, because one of your wish lists is him going to the Jets. Yes. Is the Jets a better landing spot than the Chargers for you? And what would he be if he ends up with Aaron Rodgers and the Jets?
For me, it is a better landing spot. I was thinking about when I was doing my mock draft, like where I wanted Bowers to go, and I just couldn't get out of my head Aaron Rodgers, thinking about JerMichael Finley, the one time he had that kind of talent in the intermediate middle of the field. Then just thinking about what he did with guys like Robert Tonyan. And the reason why I think he's such a great fit for Aaron Rodgers is the way that Aaron Rodgers works with his lightning quick releases. The middle of the field, the seams, and the in-breaking routes and intermediate middle, that's where he cooks. That's what's best for his skill set. And so you've seen it with Finley. You've seen it even maximizing guys like Tonyan. And now he gets the best talent he's ever worked with the tight end, with all defenses, putting rolling safety coverage over Garrett Wilson at all times, having to account for Breece Hall in the screen game, like Mike Williams on the outside. You can't leave him alone. So now it's just middle of the field open. That's where Aaron Rodgers wants to work. I just think it's the best fit personally for right away. For now, long-term dynasty, it's not the best fit because we don't know where that Jets quarterback situation will go. But for right now, for redraft, to me, it would. And I would, you know, we talked about last year, where did Dalton Kincaid go? I would put him higher than where Dalton Kincaid even went, because I think he's a better talent than Dalton Kincaid. So maybe that's back end tight end one. Some people are drafting Kincaid as like their tight end one, then adding another guy. So maybe it, just outside the top 10, maybe.
I got to ask this. If Bowers goes to the Jets, who does that help and who does that hurt as far as fantasy goes?
Now, on the Jets, you mean?
Yeah.
I think it helps Aaron Rodgers for sure.
I don't think it hurts anybody, really. I mean, of the...
You don't? I think it hurts Breece Hall.
We talked about this, though. Hall's receptions were coming down no matter what happens, because it's a better quarterback, so he's not going to be looking to throw the ball to his running backs as a safety valve as much. Mm-hmm. And he'll be a better runner because the offensive line is going to be better. And he's going to be a year healthier from the ACL. So 70 catches goes to 50, which is still very, very good. And those 20 catches, which was going to be distributed amongst the receivers anyway, plus everything else that comes with Aaron Rodgers being there, I think he's still going to be an elite level talent. So, you know, if we're going to nitpick Breece Hall, and, you know, I know for me, Bijan Robinson's three, I'm still taking Hall over Robinson based on the situation and the talent that he is. Not that Bijan's not a good talent, but I think the situation's a little bit better for him still, because I do think he'll catch more passes. But I don't think it's necessarily a detractor for Breece Hall, unless you were counting on him to be a 70-catch guy, which I just don't think is realistic.
Yeah, no. I think it's a great point by you, Jamie. And I also think if one guy I would add that would hurt would be Mike Williams. That would be a player who I would say
that's right. But I think, at least for me, like, I'm not counting on a lot from Mike Williams. You know, coming off an ACL tear, you know, he's going to be the second receiver at best. And now he goes to the third option in the passing game, if not the fourth option in the passing game. So, you know, they're coming out of this draft, I think, with another receiver regardless. So if they were to go Bowers at 10, I think they're still going to add a receiver later in the draft because it's such a deep class, because they do need to add depth there, because Mike Williams based on his injury track record, his age, he's just not a long-term answer. Right. He's a short-term answer. So we'll see. So Bowers to the Chargers for me and Dave. Bowers to the Jets for Dan. And again, the Chargers getting a few other weapons in different ways here with Marvin Harrison and Dan's situation and me giving them Xavier Worthy. All right, we got a Bills situation also. All three of us have a Bills wish here. For me, it's that they trade up to number 9 to get Rome Odunze, trading with the Bears. Dave has a fun one of Brandon Ayuk getting to Buffalo. And Dan has the Bills taking Xavier Worthy. So I'll just get the big question out of the way. I don't know if anybody's moved Josh Allen off of their number one quarterback spot because he was pretty special, even with Stephon Diggs struggling last year. But we know Diggs no longer there. Gabe Davis no longer there. So this is why we're predicting a receiver to go there. Obviously, if they get Brandon Ayuk, it solidifies Allen, I think, as the number one guy. Odunze, who's considered one of the top three receivers, still a number one, still keeps Allen, I think, as the number one guy. Xavier Worthy, I don't know if that's going to necessarily get everybody re-excited about Josh Allen if they're a little concerned right now because of Curtis Samuel, Khalil Shakir filling out the receiving core there. So, Dave, if Josh Allen just gets anybody, are you moving him up or down if you have moved him down at all?
Well, I haven't moved him down. The question is he a consensus QB1 or is he in the conversation to be QB1? Because it's going to be one or the other. If he gets Ayuk, it's over. Consensus QB1. Yep. No one's going to say, oh, it's weird if you take Hurts ahead of him, or it's weird if you take Mahomes ahead of him. But if he doesn't get Ayuk, and if he doesn't get a first-round receiver, and maybe the best that he gets is Xavier Worthy, then I think the conversation's open, especially after we see what happens in Kansas City, because that's a team that could add another wide receiver. I wonder if they've made a call to San Francisco to say, you guys, really, are you sure that you're hanging on to Brandon Ayuk? I wonder if he's the receiver that can swing the pendulum for fantasy managers when it comes to drafting quarterbacks in the upcoming draft. And if he is, then we're going to know who the QB1 is pretty clearly by the time that we get to, the draft being over. And then that adds another fun question. Well, if Ayuk is that guy, then why isn't Purdy higher in the conversation, or at least higher in the rankings? Because Ayuk's there, and he's got great receivers already around him in Brock Purdy. And does that make Purdy a good value on draft day? But ultimately, as of now, the conversation's open as to who should be the QB1. There's four candidates. You know who they are. But if the Bills do right by Josh Allen and they give him a good weapon, the conversation's over.
So, Dan, you have the most realistic situation here. I don't know if the Bills have enough ammunition to move up to number 9 without giving up a ton, and if Odunze will still be there at 9. And again, they'd probably have to give up a lot to get Brandon Ayuk, but Xavier Worthy could certainly be there at the end of the first round. When you look at this type of player and compare him to what they already have, Khalil Shakir, Curtis Samuel, Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox, the whole group there, does this do enough for Worthy to maybe leap? Is Worthy the type of guy that will leapfrog Shakir and Samuel and be the number one Bills fantasy option in the passing game? And do you still feel comfortable enough with Josh Allen if this is what he's going to have as pass catchers?
This would be the worst scenario out of the three as far as with Josh Allen. I still would feel comfortable just because I think what he does in the red zone as a runner is just so unmatched. Even Jalen Hurts, like, he can do that, but what Josh Allen would then give you, what Hurts wouldn't give you, is, in my mind at least, more of a vertical game. And I just think from watching the Bills over the last 3 years, especially when I do it for Beyond the Box Score and the Tape, what I think they've been missing is what you said Justin Herbert's been missing. But I think it's been even worse for them because Josh Allen has a better arm than Justin Herbert, and Josh Allen can really use that vertical plane. And if they're going to do what they did last year after they made the coordinator change, which is more of an emphasis on the run game, more of an emphasis on play action and setting up design deep shots, Worthy's just the guy to get to, because it's not just that he runs the fastest combine ever. You could see it on tape. That speed is real, and it's going to be tough for defensive backs. But then you watch Texas and you see that he does a lot of other things well. He's not your typical Corey Coleman or whoever usually has, or John Ross, that runs that great 40 time. Like, he goes over the middle, he makes the tough catches, he can get in and out of the break. So I think eventually, it may not happen in year one, he can run the full route tree and be that full-time Diggs type receiver, but with maybe more vertical speed and less of the rest that Diggs has. Year one, though, would be the question mark, and that's what you're asking. I think it might ding Josh Allen a little. I'd still have him QB1, but it wouldn't be as confident. As far as will Worthy get that role right away, I don't necessarily think so. I think more so he'd be best for best ball, but still a guy that you can put in your flex or wide receiver 3, and he can get you that 60-yard touchdown any week, and now you got a good week at him with 13 points right there.
He goes to Buffalo in the first round. He's going to be I would guess, in the conversation for wide receiver 4 in Dynasty, just because of the landing spot, the potential, the upside. And I think to your point about his rookie season, slow first half, hopefully amazing second half, you know, depending on how quickly he picks things up and how much Josh Allen trusts him. There's going to be a little bit of adjustment across the board just because Joe Brady's first full year as the coordinator there. So we'll see how things go there. But yes, it would be fun to see him get somebody in the first round. Like Dave said, you know, there's still a chance that they pass on wide receiver based on what being the GM has said, that they're not necessarily pigeonholing themselves to only taking a wide receiver. But it would be awesome if they ended up with somebody like Ayuk or trading up to get one of the top 3 or 4 talents in the class. Again, the Bears feel like a potential landing spot for Odunze. So if they were to maybe try to acquire some more draft picks, that could be something that Buffalo might look to do. All right, we're going to take another break. When we come back and get into a couple of other wish items, Dave's got a fun one for Jacksonville. We'll talk about some running backs as well. So stay tuned after the break.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
All right, we're talking wish list items for the NFL draft. We got into Minnesota getting a quarterback. We got into the Chargers getting some pass catching help for Justin Herbert. The Bills doing the same thing for Josh Allen. Let's go to a few more that we have here. And this is some wide receiver wishes that we have. Dave has Jacksonville trading up for a top 3 wide receiver. I assume that's the top 3 that you know by this point: Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, and Rome Odunze. And then Correct. Dan has one with the Bengals drafting A.D. Mitchell. So we'll start with Jacksonville, Dave. So right now they have the 17th pick, right, in the first round?
Yep.
16th
Correct.
Pick.
Correct.
So they're probably outside the range of a top 3 wide receiver, but you have them trading up to get a top 3 guy. Does it matter which one they get? Is it, you know, they're shooting for the stars and getting Marvin Harrison, or is it just they get one of those 3 guys? And what does that do for A, Trevor Lawrence, and B, the guys that are there right now: Christian Kirk, Gabe Davis, Evan Ingram?
I'm keeping it realistic. I think that Rome Odunze gets picked 9th in the draft, whether it's by Chicago or if a team steps up and offers something to Chicago that they can't resist. Remember, the Bears only have 4 draft picks, including the 101. That Odunze gets moved, or the pick gets moved for someone to go and get Odunze. And I think Jacksonville's a little desperate for a wide receiver, just like a couple of other teams are desperate for other positions in the draft. They had Calvin Ridley lead the team. Not that he was dynamite for them anyway, but I feel like they need to add another player to that receiving core, because Gabe Davis, I know what they think of Gabe Davis. I don't think that that is realistic. I think Christian Kirk's great. He's a short area, middle of the field type of target. Evan Ingram, same exact thing. They need somebody that can stretch defenses, win on the perimeter. Odunze wins everywhere. That's one of the great things about him, is that he's a big receiver. He's physical. He adjusts off target throws. He just doesn't have that rare top speed that you look for, which honestly, I don't even know if Harrison has that rare top speed either, but Odunze is still good enough to get open, make huge plays, be a number one for somebody in the NFL. And if Jacksonville is as desperate as I think they are to fix that receiving core and give Trevor Lawrence a number one option, Odunze is worth trading up for, even if it means giving up multiple twos to get up from 17 to 9 to make him theirs. I think he'd be a number three fantasy receiver at minimum if he's in Jacksonville. I think he'd end up being the top target getter in Jacksonville, which would stink for Christian Kirk, but Kirk would be right behind him. It would stink for Evan Engram, but I think Engram would still be good enough to be a top 12 fantasy tight end. And I know that everybody can't wait to get their hands on Gabe Davis for the third year in a row. All right, I'm kidding. Dan picked up on that. Gabe Davis would still be a bench player, and Trevor Lawrence would be, I think he'd be a little bit closer to being a top 12 fantasy quarterback, but he wouldn't quite make it there. For example, if this were to happen, Jacksonville gets Odunze, and the Chargers get one of Harrison or Bowers, I'm still taking Herbert ahead of Trevor Lawrence.
You feel the same, Dan? So let's Harrison's a different category for me. So if it's just Brock Bowers to the Chargers, and Odunze to the Jaguars, which quarterback are you taking, Herbert or Lawrence?
I'm still taking Herbert over Lawrence in that scenario.
Yeah, I would as well, but they
might
get closer.
Take both in that scenario, James.
You could,
you could get both,
right?
You could, yeah. could draft both. You know, so it'd be nice to see, you know, Trevor Lawrence, you know, live up to his potential. We've seen flashes of it. You know, second half of the first season with Doug Peterson really being the best. So it'd be nice to see a full year and maybe just a better receiving core. Not that Calvin Ridley was the problem last year across the board, but he did have some drops. So we'll see if, you know,
feet
getting
weren't
in bounds. Top tier talent. Dan, you have the Bengals drafting a wide receiver. So we know the situation. Ja'Marr Chase locked in. T. Higgins, not so much. He's on the franchise tag requesting a trade still. That might be something that happens on NFL draft night, although it sounds like they want him to be there. He does say he expects to be with the Bengals in 2024. But drafting a receiver like Mitchell, what does that change for the Bengals pass catching situation?
Yeah, I'll start with the prospect, then I'll go into the fit. The prospect to me is my wide receiver four, and I say that despite knowing that there's a good chance he won't be the fourth best receiver in this class because he's a boom-bust type player. And there is a bust profile, but I like to go for the ceiling here. And you just don't find prospects like this very often. 6'2", 205 with a 97 percentile speed score, a 4.34 40-yard dash at 6'2", 205, 96 percentile burst score. I mean, his 10-yard split, his 20-yard split, all amazing. Vertical jump, broad jump. He was seventh among all wide receivers in average depth of target, and just a 2.2% drop rate, one of the best top 10 in the entire class. He is a hands catcher who plucks away from his frame. His release package off the line of scrimmage to me from the receivers I studied was as good as anyone in this class except for Marvin Harrison and maybe Romo Odunze. He can create separation that will specifically help him in the red zone. And he is a receiver who wins on the intermediate and vertical plane and in the red zone with his release off the line of scrimmage. That's the receiver that Joe Burrow needs. Joe Burrow is a quarterback who wins with anticipation in the intermediate and deep level and in the red zone with ball placement and anticipation. I saw him torching defensive backs over and over in the red zone, and Quinn Ewers sail airmailing passes. You could watch his game against Alabama. That's the best example of what, in my opinion, Mitchell can be, because he's going against Kool-Aid McKinstry, who's one of the top corners in his class, and he gave him such a tough time. And yes, the production wasn't there at Texas. I get that, but the fit for me with Burrow and him in the red zone specifically, and then on the vertical plane, he could be, in my opinion, if he reaches the ceiling, T. Higgins with a lot more speed. And that's kind of exactly what worked already with Joe Burrow. So I think it could work again.
Dave, if this happens and Higgins stays, how do we view Chase, Higgins, and Mitchell for the 2024 season?
First of all, what an awesome trio that would be. And yeah, you kind of wish that it would be that way for the rest of Burrow's career, but you know that it feels like a one-year deal because T. Higgins probably won't be there. But for 2024, honestly, I don't think I don't I view Mitchell a little bit differently than Dan does. I think Dan's more excited about him. I see some flaws in his game and certainly in his past that makes me nervous about him reaching his ceiling. But there is a good ceiling for him that could be reached. And Cincinnati could be one of those places where he could just keep his head on straight, focused on football. The quarterback will, you know, absolutely force him to do that. And he's got a learning curve with a year plus to really get to where he needs to be. Chase is still a top five fantasy receiver. Currently for me, he's number four, probably right about where he'll be. Long-term though, he would be amazing because it wouldn't be as crowded of a receiving core. Higgins would still be more in that number three receiver range for me, a guy that you can just pencil in for 13 PPR points week after week. And Adonai Mitchell would be someone that would be on my fantasy bench to start the year. And if there's an injury to Chase or Higgins, I'd be real excited to start Adonai Mitchell. no one else on that team as far as the passing game, the tight ends and the other ancillary wide receivers would be worth it. Burrow would still be a top five fantasy quarterback for me, of course.
Yeah, right now I have Burrow 6, but he's behind Stroud. So getting a receiver like Mitchell might push him back because they're basically back-to-back in my overall rankings. So would love this for Burrow. I would not love it so much for Chase and certainly hate it for Higgins. So
yeah.
Chase would drop a little bit, probably outside my top five. So probably 6 or 7 at receiver, and Higgins would tumble quite a bit. Yeah. So
I don't know if Mitchell's good enough to warrant that.
I think I'm on your same page, at least in year one, Dave. It could take Mitchell some time. And I want to make it clear, we don't get to interview these players, so I don't know the off-field stuff. There's been a lot of talk in that regard. And you watch the tape, and he's the only receiver in the class that you're going to literally see taking off plays when they're not thrown to his side. And he talked about the combine. He said it's part of like a tempoing thing for him. He wants to keep his energy for the entire one of these drives.
He's diabetic, too.
And he's diabetic.
He's diabetic. That's part of it.
Yep. These are all maybe you can consider them excuses or real, issues that he's dealing with. So I know there's a floor here. And I even think in year one, he'd be mostly just like a red zone threat and like a big play guy. So I'm not sure he would crush Higgins or Chase. But long term, I just feel like the fit could be so well with Burrow.
And to be fair, they have had a very capable third receiver for the last several years, Tyler Boyd. So it's not like, they're. It's a downgrade. It's an upgrade over Boyd. Mitchell's an upgrade over Boyd.
Right. Athletically, yes.
How much does that change from a target scenario and performance scenario? But I mean, look, if they're spending first round capital on a wide receiver, they're not going to sit him. They're going to play that player if it is, in fact, A.D. Mitchell. So again, the wish list from the receivers of the ones we already covered, Jacksonville trading up for a top three wide receiver and the Bengals drafting A.D. Mitchell. And again, what we're talking about is a wish list. These aren't mocks. These are just things that we would like to see happen. Last sort of theme that we'll get into here. This is just more me and Dave. Dan didn't have any running back ones, but we have some running back options. Dave has one. I have two. Dave's running back wish list is Trey Benson going to the Cowboys, or the way Dave phrased it, Trey Benson is the feature back for the Cowboys. And then I have two, and they're sort of more long-term situations. The Ravens, Texans, and Vikings drafting Jonathan Brooks, and the Jaguars, Chiefs, Bills, Bucks, Rams, and Raiders. You could throw another team in there if you want to. Don't draft a running back. These are some of the teams that you have seen linked to taking running backs, whether as backups or to push the starter. So it was more along the line with those. Now, Dave, obviously, Trey Benson, we talked about this a couple times over the last several shows. Trey Benson's your number one running back. For me, it's Jonathan Brooks. I don't know where you come out on it, Dan, who's number one for you. But it seems like this is the consensus top two. Brooks coming back from the ACL from Texas, and Benson at Florida State coming off a very solid season where he was part of a tandem committee with the Seminoles. So, Dave, is it really just Benson's your favorite, the Cowboys' favorite destination, and let's just get your favorite running back, whoever that may be, to Dallas?
Perfect. Perfect way to sum it up. Yeah, the reason why I like Benson is because he's already recovered from his ACL injury. In fact, his injury was worse than Jonathan Brooks' injury. Yeah. And he looks just as explosive as he was before the injury. So he's ready to go. There's no questions about his top-end speed. I've got questions about Brooks' top-end speed. We don't know how long it's going to take Brooks. Brooks is going to be okay. But is he going to be okay by week one? Is it going to be okay by week one of 2025? We just don't know how that's going to turn out. So in the long run, yeah, Brooks might be the better prospect. I can't say for sure that I'm going to have Benson ahead of Brooks in my dynasty rankings after the draft. Of course, Fitz is going to come into that as well. But I think that if, as things stand right now, if Benson is the Cowboys' pick, he's their main guy. And I want the main guy for any NFL team, but certainly Dallas.
Dan, we get Benson, Brooks, Jalen Wright, Marshawn Lloyd, whoever the running back that the Cowboys take. No matter the time that they take him in the NFL draft, if their first running back off the board is the 5th round, 6th round, 7th round, is that going to be the running back you potentially covet the most? But let's just be a little bit more optimistic. Let's say it's round 2 or round 3 for a Benson, a Brooks, a Jalen Wright, which seem to be the top three guys on a lot of people's boards. How soon are you taking that running back in a redraft league?
Yeah, I'm glad you specified that, because I think round 2-3 is going to be very different than round 4-5 for Dynasty. For redraft, it doesn't impact me as much. For redraft, it's going to depend a lot on training camp, though, and how things are looking in the preseason, because the main thing with these guys are they going to be able to pick up pass protection? Because there's no way they're putting him out there with Dak Prescott on key downs if he doesn't understand the system well enough to understand the checks and Prescott is a pre-snap type of quarterback. He's making checks, he's changing protections, and that running back needs to be in the right spot. And that's something that they can probably count on with guys like Dowdle and who have been in that system. But a rookie is not a guarantee from that standpoint. So I'm going to follow all that stuff, Jamie. But for dynasty standpoint, I think this is very important. If let's say we see the greatest fit, like it's all Cowboys waited till round four and they got a running back, whoever it was, it's not important right now for this scenario. And now everyone's excited about him because he's on the Cowboys. I'm just going to think back to a couple years ago with Damian Pierce, how excited we got about him on the Texans. They waited to get him. They got him on day three. And now where are we at with Damian Pierce? We do our dynasty restart startup mock drafts with Heath like 2 weeks ago. Damian Pierce, I get him in like the last round or the round before the last round. And it's like, you just have to be careful with day three investments from a dynasty standpoint. So I just wanted to make that point.
Yeah, but that fair point. But if you said right now in a dynasty rookie only draft, you're taking Cowboys rookie running back that was drafted fourth round, as you put it, mm-hmm. and you're getting the 1 year of Damian Pierce. Because for 1 year, it was good.
Right.
It's probably a second round pick.
Second round pick for 1 year production. That's interesting. That's an interesting debate. I'd have to really think about that. Like how I value 1 year of production in dynasty. Is that worth a second round pick? At some classes, it might be.
Position?
Yeah, right. Because it's just like, it's a running back. It's so valuable. You get such a, maybe if you're a win now team, I guess that doesn't depend on that. Yeah.
I guess. Yeah, that's part of it. But think about the receivers that you could get in round
two. That's what I was thinking.
In a rookie only draft. So like, that's the question is, do you take a receiver who's never going to be like a superstar for your team, but maybe for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, but I mean,
you could use them as a flex.
Think about the ones that the fantasy community, have whiffed on because we thought great situation, right. great talent. Like I'm thinking, you know, when I bring this up, Dave, I'm not picking on you, but you know,
it's okay.
Jalen Reagor was a first round pick, and right. we all got excited about the potential of him as a first round pick. Alec Pierce, you know, a guy that we thought, okay, maybe can do some things going.
See,
to the
now you're picking on me.
I'm thinking of
Sky first Moore.
Round, back end or early second round picks in our dynasty drafts.
Yeah,
you might have taken those guys, but I'm thinking about guys like, you know, who else was in the first round last year that was bad?
I mean, Sky Moore 2 years ago is a great example.
You know, I mean, like
Quinn Johnson is a great example, except he might not have been a second rounder in our draft.
No, right. But what I'm saying is, like, you know, you say you're passing on these wide receivers. We whiff on receivers too. It's not like, you know, it's a foolproof position. But
I'm not saying that a receiver in round two, like obviously you'd rather have Puka Nacua, who in our dynasty league wasn't even a second round pick. He went after round two in ours.
He wasn't drafted.
I thought he was.
No.
He wasn't drafted in our dynasty league.
No.
Tank Dell was a third round pick last year.
I could slap myself in the face for not taking him. Look, bottom line is this. If it's a receiver that you can get something out of for multiple years, weigh that against a running back that you can get good numbers from for 1 year. Which one would you rather have?
Yeah, I think it comes down to need. That's a good question, James.
I think in a vacuum, you take the wide receiver.
Most people would, but...
Yeah, but you don't know when you're taking the player what you're going to get. You can take a running back and, you know, he hurts himself in week one.
Right, so would you take... And this is... I'll give you two names. Two guys that have the potential to do something this year. Would you take the 1 year of Damian Pierce versus Jameson Williams or Wandale Robinson?
Yeah, you're right. Because those guys may never be, if anything, they're flex. I'm still going the receiver, but I don't know if that's right. This is making me rethink.
I think you said it best. We can wrap it up there. If you're win now, you're taking the running back, get the production there, and just, you know, figure out the rest of your team moving forward. If you're looking long term because your team stinks, you're hoping that those receivers become something because then they could hopefully help you when your team is.
But that's only hope, like you're saying, Jamie. That's hope springs eternal.
Oh, it's totally hope. I mean,
that's what we're drafting in Dynasty.
I know, you're right. Only
drafts.
You know, Dave, I'll crap on myself here. I was in a startup.
Let's cut that out and put that in a bit. Sorry.
in a rookie draft last year where I took over a team and I cut the entire, I've mentioned this before. I cut the entire roster except for like three guys. And I was basically just drafting the few veterans, a 10 team league. So there were a little bit more veterans, but a few veterans that are available and rookies. And got very, very lucky. Made a trade, so I ended up with the first two picks. I had Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs were my first two picks. It was a one QB league. And ended up with Tank Dell, ended up with Rashee Rice, ended up with, these are some trades that happened too. But the stupidest move that I did was because I thought Sky Moore was going to be great for the Chiefs. And I drafted Sky Moore like two picks ahead of Sam LaPorta. Like, you know, that's just how dumb Dynasty can be sometimes. So, you know, you take chances on this could be the Chiefs' number one wide receiver. Like, why would I not take a chance on Patrick Mahomes' guy for the next several years? And we tend to make those mistakes time and time again. And now I saw the latest blurb we have on him on our site. Sky Moore fighting for a roster spot, you know, that's kind of where he is. So, you know, we make mistakes all the time with, you know, these receivers that seem like they're in great spots. So I think if you have the opportunity to take the player that can help you for a year, you take the player that can help for a year if you win now. And again, looking long term, you hope that those guys will become something. So the other two running back notes or wish items that we have here, both for me, again, this is going to sound weird because we want to see Jonathan Brooks end up in a place that he could be good. But Dave mentioned this. We don't know if he's going to be ready to go by 2025. Yeah. Fully healthy. So I have him going
by 2025. I hope he's ready to go fully healthy.
I'm sorry.
By 2025. I hope he's fully healthy.
Well, you kind of alluded to that he's
right. He's going to play in 2024. 100%. It's just a matter of when.
And this is just kind of taking more of a long-term approach with him, but that the Ravens, Texans, or Vikings draft Brooks. And these are three offenses that have aging running backs as starters for this season. Mixon being the youngest of the trio of Derrick Henry, Joe Mixon, and Aaron Jones. But offenses that I expect to be very good for the next several years. And if he ends up there, he won't be great for fantasy. He'll hurt the running back that he's there a little bit, like Dave said, if he's, you know, healthy come week one or at some point during the season. But long term, if he's the guy there for the Ravens, the guy there for the Texans, the guy there for the Vikings, he could be a very good fantasy asset. And then the other one is the Jaguars, Chiefs, Bills, Bucks, Rams, and Raiders don't draft a running back. So we talked about this a little bit on, I think it was Monday's show. No, it wasn't Monday's show. It was last week's show about the Jaguars and the Bucks potentially in the market for a running back because of what we've heard, that the Jaguars don't want to give Travis Etienne as much work as they gave him last year. And Rashad White, you know, maybe getting some help and maybe, you know, alleviating some of the running down duties, but helping him, you know, still be an elite level pass catcher, which he's proven to be in the early part of his NFL career. So of these two scenarios, which would you like to see happen more? I'm going to guess the answer is the second one, but that the teams with running backs in place, not getting a running back, or Jonathan Brooks going someplace where he may not make an impact in 2024, but in 2025 and beyond, he could be a superstar.
The former, the first one.
I'm going with
the first one that you just said.
Yeah, which I think was the latter of the first time. Now you're confusing me.
It's the laundry list of teams that Jamie does not want.
As the person on this podcast who's drafted Derrick Henry in every single mock we've had so far, I really don't want him going to the Ravens. Let me just make that clear.
Yes. Well, again, more thinking long term. And it's almost giving Brooks a redshirt season and then getting that knee healthy. And then hopefully, you know, by the time he's ready to go, he is 100% and can be, you know, maybe a top tier fantasy option. I don't know if he'll ever be a superstar, but on one of those teams, that certainly could be the case. But we'll find out what happens with the NFL draft starting tomorrow. So, Thomas, correct me if I'm wrong here, but our programming will be Thursday night post NFL draft. As soon as the 32nd pick is made, we will be up live doing a recap of the first round. Friday night, we will do the same thing after rounds two and rounds three are completed. And then Saturday at some point in the early evening, maybe evening, we will do a recap of the draft in its entirety following the seventh round and the next Brock Purdy that is drafted. So is that correct? And will we be jumping up in between anything major that happens as well, right?
Yeah, so the first round we'll do some reaction videos depending on what happens. Hopefully, I mean, all of our predictions are going to be wrong, right? So we're going to be doing a lot of stuff.
Like, is there going to be a video after Caleb Williams is taken?
No.
Okay. So but it's got to be something that really,
Caleb Williams, we'll start doing stuff.
Right. Needle so moving Vikings stuff.
Trade up for Drake May after we can reel Thomas back in. We will probably jump up and do a video. And then when the Giants draft Malik Nabers, Adam will make us do a video. So I'm sure as the first round unfolds, you'll be seeing us quite a bit. But certainly after the draft on Thursday night, on Friday night, and some point Saturday evening, you will see us recapping the draft. We'll have some guests joining us as well. It should be fun. As we know, the draft is going to reshape a lot of our fantasy rosters, and we're looking forward to updating our rankings, which will happen next week, doing a lot more mock drafts, and getting you set for everything you need for the upcoming 2024 campaign. So, guys, this was fun. Looking forward to the next 3 days. Hopefully, you'll be joining us as well. For Dan, for Dave, and the missing Adam Azer, I'm Jamie Eisenberg. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening to Fantasy Football.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.